Don't you appreciate that singing tonight? Thank y'all. Bless your heart. Good to have you. If you appreciated their singing, say amen. Now, these folks are getting help over here, and that's a good place to get it. Say, how do you know? I've been there before, and I've got help from my life, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm glad there's help to be found around the house of God, and there's healing around here, and there's hope around here, and thank God there's some heaven around here, around the house of God. I want to ask Brother Charles Mustin to come on around. He's the pastor of Midway Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. I appreciate this man of God, and he's going to preach for us. You say, well, preacher, there's people in the altar. They can do their business. You need to listen to what God's saying to you tonight. There may be somebody here lost and undone. It'd be the night God would save you. It might be the deliverance of your home. It might be the help of your son or your daughter. You never know. But I know he's God's man for this hour. You pray for him. I love you.
Amen. What a blessing. Thank the Lord for the privilege of being under this tabernacle again. I have surely got some help through the years. While you're looking in your Bible for the book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, I could not help from thinking about a passage found in the book of Genesis, chapter 41 and verse 51, I believe it is, where it talks about a man by the name of Manasseh. Certainly was his firstborn son. And then he said, God made me forget my toils. And I say tonight, there has been many a day that I have, many a time I've walked under this tabernacle burdened down, and the Lord sent the help that I needed, and I am so grateful tonight for that. In the book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, I want to deal with a few verses. There's a lot in the Song of Solomon I don't understand. But what I do understand has certainly been a help to me. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I enjoy seeing people around the altar. I want to tell you something tonight. This altar can be the very best friend that you'll ever find. Oh, I know it's just wood and shavings. It's not what the altar's made out of, but it's who that we can meet when we get around this place. The help that God gives his people. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse number 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. And the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. I'd like to use these verses for a few minutes this evening and talk about Jesus, the lover of my soul. As we read our Bibles, we certainly need to be reminded that this book is all about Him. It is a Him book. Matter of fact, in the book of Luke, the Bible says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Amen. This Bible is about Him. Amen. I'm grateful for the characters that have been placed in our Bible. I'm grateful for Moses and Abraham and David. I'm grateful for all these men of God and Matthew and Mark and Paul and all of them. I'll tell you, but if we're not careful, we're focused on them and we'll forget about Him. May God help us somehow or another. I'm glad I learned about David and his sling. I'm glad I learned about those three Hebrew children there in the furnace of fire. I'm glad that I learned those old stories. But can I say to you that this Bible was not written about them? It all surrounds Him this evening. And if Jesus preached Himself in the Old Testament, then we can benefit from the various manifestations and the types and portraits of Christ that are set forth here. By further introduction, may we be reminded that Jesus can be found in some way in every book of our Bible. We must not overlook Him. We must not get so involved with a character that we leave out Him tonight. He's the main character in every book. You remember in school you had to read and then they tell you who was the main character. May I say to you tonight in the book of Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon's not the main character. Oh no, the Lord Jesus is the main character that we find here in the book of Song of Solomon. It was Him that spoke the world into existence. It was Him that hung the stars in their place. It was Him that provided coats for Adam and for Eve. It was Him who parted the Red Sea. It was Him who provided food and water in the wilderness. It was Him that made a fiery serpent and put it on the pole. It was Him that was the captain of the host of the Lord's host. It was Him that was the cleft in the rock. It was Him that was the fourth man in the fire. It was Him that took our sins to the cross. It was Him that was buried. And on the third day, He got up. May I say to you again, hurriedly this evening, that this is a Him book. Let's not overlook Him. I tell you, because it's Him that's going to help you. It's him that's going to lift your burden. It's him that's going to provide your need. It's him that's going to get you out of the valley. It's him, my friend, that's going to comfort you in the days of trial. This Bible is about him tonight. Here in our text, Jesus is portrayed as the lover of my soul. You know, in the Psalms, David said, I love the Lord because. And we could go on and on and on with I love the Lord because. But have you ever thought about it? That Christ loves us without a because. He just loves us. No because and nothing attached. He just loves us. I love him because, but he just loves me in spite of all that I am and all that I've done. He just loves me tonight. He's the lover of my soul. Divided this text into three headings. Number one, notice the titles. He gives his own. He said in verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. There are many different loving titles found in this chapter. We're looking at word that the bridegroom is speaking to his bride. We're looking at where the husband is speaking to his bride. My beloved spake and said, my love. He is identifying with us in a personal way. Please don't misunderstand me, but these words were not written for everybody. He didn't send out a letter putting occupant on the envelope. No, I'm telling you, it wasn't a general letter. Oh, it's a personal letter. He's talking to you. He's talking to me that have been born again. My friend, by the good grace of God, he said, my love, my fair one. I don't know what it might mean to you, but I'm glad on April the 28th, 1974, I was minding my own business, and God, the Holy Ghost, came by where I was, and he put his hand on me and saved me by his marvelous grace. And ever since then, I was his love. Notice this speaks to us of Christ's affection for us. He said there in chapter 2 in verse 2, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. It seems like she sees herself as common. But Solomon said, she's more than that. Solomon said, you're special. Solomon said, you're like a beautiful lily among the thorns. I'm not so sure if I can make application, but when he came to me, he was saying, I have eyes only for you. Woo! Aren't you glad that he loves you? I'm glad he loves the world. I'm glad he loves you folks. But I'm glad, my friend, he loves me. I may not look much, but I tell you, I am his love today. The lover of my soul. The affection that he shows us. He's not ashamed to call us his own. Hebrews said, for both he that sanctifieth, they who are sanctified, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I have to confess, there has been some times that I was ashamed of him. But there's never been a moment that he was ashamed of me. I've read about parents who have lock their children in the back room when company would come because of some birth defect. I personally knew a man that had a boy born with birth defects. And when company would come, he'd say, call him by his name. He said, just go back there. Until all the company leaves. What it was, his father was ashamed of those birth defects. Every one of us have birth defects. But Christ loved us. And he's not ashamed of us. My beloved spake. Said my love. This speaks to us of Christ's affection for us. But it speaks to us of Christ's adoration for us. He says in verse 10 and verse 13, my fair one. Now listen, I'm not going to say right now. I'll let you know something just a minute about this. But listen, he said, my fair one. That word indicates my beautiful one. It indicates that you're not an ugly duckling. You're not a stepchild. Christ says that you are beautiful. I don't care what side the tracks that you may have been on. I want to tell you, if you've ever experienced the marvelous grace of God, can I tell you tonight that you're not a misfit and you're not useless. You're a piece of puzzle in God's sovereign plan today. God knew where you sat, and he got a place for you to fit in his plan today. Oh, my Lord, tonight. My fair one. My fair one. Hold it. This is not what we think of him. This is what he thinks about us. See, the miracle of salvation is not that we loved him, but he loved us. And the miracle of salvation is not one day we looked in his direction. Oh, no, but one day he looked in our direction. It's not that we wanted him. I don't understand that, but he wanted us. I'm talking about, my friend, the miracle of being born again, the joy that we can, that he says, my love, my fair one today. It's not that we wanted to be identified with him, but he wanted to be identified with us. It's not that we pursued him. It wasn't anything in this depraved nature. Everything about me was moving in the opposite direction. It wasn't me one day that woke up and started looking for him and started pursuing him. I'm glad, one friend, my friend, the miracle of salvation is not that we pursued him, but he pursued us. Hallelujah today. What a blessing that is. My fair one. My love. Who in the world is he talking about? I don't know if he's talking about you, but I do know. He's talking about me. I got to hurry. It speaks to us of Christ's affection and Christ's adoration for us. But then there is a second thought in our text. Not only the title he gives his own, but notice the tenderness he shows his own. The bride confessed that the bridegroom tenderly said to her, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Notice how Christ lifts his people. He does not push us further down. I know some who have the gift of stepping on others. We need to lift up one another. Christ lifts us up to the heavenly side of things. See, David needed lifting up. David said that he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Someone said, well, I was on the bottom. Well, that's where we all were. It ain't no middle ground. You may not have been a drug head and an alcoholic and whatever you may be. You may have been a 10, 12-year-old child. And the very same grace that comes the one that may have lived a defiled life is the very same grace that comes and lifts up some child, some boy, some girl. David said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. The JWs will throw a handful of watchtower literature in the pit and tell you to read your way out. The Seventh-day Adventists will throw the law down in the pit and tell you to work your way out. The Church of Christ will throw a baptistry filled with water and tell you to swim your way out. The Roman Catholics will throw a priest in the pit. They'll tell you to confess your way out. The Mormon Church will send a couple of men in white shirts and ties who throw a 10-speed bicycle in the pit and tell you to pedal your way out. Can I go on record and say I did not read my way out? I did not work my way out. I did not swim my way out. I did not confess my way out. I did not pedal my way out. I'm glad, my friend, he lifted me out. I say hallelujah today. He lifted me. How Christ lifts, he'll lift you out of your sin. Like Jeremiah. He'll lift you out of your solitude. Like Luke and that lady that was bound for 18 years. He'll lift you out of your struggles. Simon Peter on the water needed lifting. He'll lift you out of your storms. Have you ever felt like that you was going down for the last time? We all need lifting up. I imagine that there were probably many that came through those doors tonight. You're dragging bottom. Your life hadn't turned out right. Your family's in a mess. Your boys and your girls have walked away from God and seem like you just can't get back on the right road. You got needs and you got hurts and you got pains. And many of you came through those doors. I want to tell you, he's here to lift you up tonight. How Christ lifts us. Lift your head up. Lift your hands up. Lift your heart up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from that peaceful shore, very deep and stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now save. Am I? How Christ lifts his people. But we can't help from seeing how Christ leads his people. In his tender love, Jesus not only lifts his people up, but he leads his people on. He doesn't save you and tell you to do the very best you can. He leads us. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This world is a wilderness. And just as sure as you go through this world, you're going to get scratched. You're going to run into a few thorns. But aren't you glad even in the midst of that, God leads his dear children on? When I used to quail hunt, used to be a place in Warren County where I was raised and lived. And you always took care of your birds back over there behind the old fire department. Those birds would always fly in the roughest, thickest part of the woods when you get them up. And we're working our way through those briars. You couldn't halfway shoot. I remember my daddy telling me. He said, son, I know it's rough right now. He said, but right around yonder, he said, there's a spring. He said, I've drank from it many a time. Running these birds through these thickets. And sure enough, through the scratches and the blood and wore out. We was tired. Sure enough, there was a spring there with a gourd for a drinking cup. I want to tell you something tonight. Sometimes this world is rough. But I'm telling you, just hang in there. There's a spring right ahead. He leads his dear children alone. One final thing, and I am done. The titles he gives his own. The tenderness he shows his own. But notice the time. He blesses his own. In verse 11, Solomon said to the Shulamite, "For today, winter is past. The rain is over and gone." Quickly, this portrays Christ pushing the winter time behind us. Amen. I've heard mountain people say, "I believe this is the worst winter we've ever had. It was the coldest. We got more snow." I'm telling you, the cold experiences seem like they'll last forever. But that's not true. They come and they go, then the flowers appear, and the birds begin to sing. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Did you know that a dove doesn't chirp? A dove doesn't whistle. A dove doesn't quack. He just coos. And I'm thankful in those wintertime experiences, every once in a while, we hear him cooing. The Holy Spirit speaking to our heart. It portrays Christ pushing the wintertime behind us. It portrays Christ placing the springtime before us. Amen. New tokens of grace. Right. Fresh blessings are allocated from the hand of the lover of our souls. Charles Wesley wrote, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me thy bosom fly while the nearer pools waters roll. While the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide. Though the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide, O rest my soul at last." Jesus, the lover of my soul.